I want to turn, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to John's Gospel, and to the chapter number 11. John's Gospel, chapter number 11. With God's Word open before us, let us just bow together in a brief word of prayer. Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already. Lord, as we come now to consider Thy Word, O God, cleanse our hearts afresh in the precious blood. O God, fill this vessel afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. Give us right words. Lord, give us words that are convenient, Lord, for this hour. Words that, Lord, are needed for hearts and for souls. We pray that every word of man would fall to the ground, Lord, but Thy Word would be written indelibly and effectually, Lord, upon hearts. Give liberty in the preaching of Your Word. Bind the devil, Lord. Let the word of the Lord have free course, we pray. And Lord, glorify our Savior. Grant us Thy presence and power. Save, I beseech of Thee. Bless Thy people. Exalt Thy name. For we pray these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now the text of Scripture the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting this night are the final words of the verse number 28 of John's Gospel and the chapter number 11. Simply these words, the Master is come and calleth for thee. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Over in the Gospel of Luke, whenever the Lord met with Zacchaeus and saved him as he went through the city of Jericho, the Lord spoke those tremendous words, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And such words really tell of the Lord's desire to save sinners. And my, we are reminded of that same truth tonight here in John's Gospel, chapter 11, and the verse number 28 through the words of our text, where it says, the Master is come and calleth for thee. In the town of Bethany, in this chapter, we're told how there lived two sisters, Mary and Martha. They lived with their brother called Lazarus. And the Lord loved this particular family. This was a home that was open to the Lord. And oh, that more and more homes in our land and in our society would be open to the Lord, like this home at Bethany was. It was a place where the Lord Jesus Christ often visited in this scene of time. We're told in the chapter how the Lord Jesus Christ was away on a preaching trip with His disciples. During that occasion, we're told how Lazarus takes sick and he dies. And by the sisters in their grief, they send for the Savior. But by the time he arrives, Lazarus, yes, is dead, and Lazarus is also buried in the sepulchre. And Martha goes out to greet and to meet the Savior. As she does so, she utters those words there in the verse number 21 of the chapter by saying, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And following this, the Lord Jesus Christ then speaks those tremendous words in verse 25 and verse 26 of the chapter, where it says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And by these words were a tremendous comfort to the heart of Mary and Martha. And receiving comfort from these words, we're told how Martha goes to our sorrowing sister Mary. And she utters the words of her text, and she says at the end of verse 28, the Master has come, and he calleth for thee. And following this, they make their way with the Savior to the tomb of Lazarus. And by the mighty resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ speaks, and he calls Lazarus forth back to life, and he restores them in health to his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And friends, just as the Lord called Mary in this particular occasion to himself for fellowship. So the Lord is one who is continually calling sinners to himself for salvation. You go back to the beginning of time, to our first parents, Adam and Eve. God called them to himself for salvation. With that tremendous question after the fall of Adam into his sin, when God came to the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, and he said, "Where art thou?" And he called them to himself for salvation. And it's the same all through the Bible and over the New Testament. In Mark's Gospel, Christ spoke those tremendous words. He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He is continually calling sinners to repentance, continually calling sinners to salvation. My, from the beginning of time, right until the very end of time, the Lord is constantly and continually calling and drawing sinners to himself for salvation. As we would think tonight of our text, which says the Master has come and calleth for thee. Friends, I want you just to consider with me some of the ways in which God calls sinners to salvation. First of all, we can say tonight that God calls sinners to salvation through his word, through his truth. And all through the Bible, you have God calling sinners to come and to trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for their salvation. Indeed, it has rightly been said that God's favorite word is the word come, constantly and continually exhorting and calling and drawing sinners to himself for salvation. In the verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1, there you have the Lord speaking. And he says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And there the Lord calls you and I to trust in Christ, to trust in the precious blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary for the cleansing away of all our sin before Almighty God. What an invite. Again, in the same book of Isaiah, the Lord speaks through his word. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And again, by those same words, we are exhorted to trust Christ as our Savior. If we are to know satisfaction and fulfillment and contentment in our hearts and lives and our souls. Again, you think of those tremendous words uttered by Christ in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28. When he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And there you and I are exhorted, invited to trust Christ the Savior, that we might know rest from the awful power and tyranny of sin in our lives. And again, you think of that wonderful promise of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 6 and the verse 37. When he says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And there you have the great assurance that if we trust Christ as our Savior, he never will cast us out. He will take us one day to heaven, one day to glory. And then right over in the very last book of the New Testament, in the very last chapter 22 and the verse number 17 of the book of the Revelation, God speaks again through his word. And he says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." He says, "And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." And there you see how God calls all kinds of people. He calls men and women, and young people, boys and girls, people from different places, different colors, or creeds, or classes. He calls them to himself for salvation. Oh, dear friend, in our meeting tonight on Save, let me say this to you personally. All through the book of God, all through the Bible, God calls you to repent of your sins. He called you to come and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His atoning sacrifice alone for the salvation of your soul and the pardon of your sin. And let me say this, that if you are still unsaved and found unsaved on the day of judgment, when that day comes, you can never say that you did not hear God's call to salvation. You cannot say that God has never showed you from His Word how you can be saved. For does not His Word declare, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? Let me say this, that if you are still unsaved on the day of judgment, you will be without excuse. You see, God has given you His Word, the Bible. And this book, this Bible is filled with earnest appeals from Genesis to Revelation for you to repent of your sins and for you to come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. God calls through His Word. Friend, how many times has not God called you to His Word, yet you're still in your sin? In this gospel meeting tonight, He calls through His Word to salvation. But something else tonight we must say, God calls sinners to salvation through His people, through His own church. Again, you think of the words of Christ before He ascended up into heaven to the disciples. He said to them, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." Believer, let me speak to you in this meeting tonight. Let me say this. You and I who are saved are to be witnesses for Christ. You and I are to witness of Christ to others. You and I who are saved, we are to tell how Christ has saved us. We're to tell others how Christ has washed away our sins in His precious blood and how He has taken us into His family and into His fold. We are to witness of Christ. Remember the final command of Christ to the disciples before He went up into glory. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." What a command. But it just wasn't for the disciples or the apostles. That is a command to every Christian, every born again believer in his life or in her life. Let me say this, dear child of God, this is to be our chief business, individually as Christians and collectively as a church. Dear believer, you are to witness to others about your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, let me ask you the question, when was the last time you spoke to somebody about the Lord? When was the last time you shared the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ who has saved your soul, who has forgiven your sins? When was the last time you shared that word and the gospel with someone that you know? The other day we're out in the doors there in Hamilton's Bond speaking to the people. Pray for that outreach. Pray for the tracts. Pray for the Gospels of John as they go in to every home in the village. But I was speaking to a man on the doorstep about his need to be saved. And he says, "Funny, you should come to my door today." For he says, continually in my place at work, my friends, my Christian friends are continually speaking to me and telling me of my need to get saved and to get right with God. And I says, "Well, that's what your Christian friends are meant to do. They're to witness to you. Praise God, they're doing that. Of your need to be saved." Can I say that's what each one of us who are saved are to do? We are to witness for Christ. And can I say it's the duty of all of us who are saved to invite others to come to Christ. And friends, in Christ, if we're not to hinder that work, if we're not to dishonor the Lord's name or harm the cause of the gospel in that work, then it's vital that you and I as Christians also are living in obedience to God and to His Word and to His truth. Think of what the hymn writer says, and rightly says, we cannot be channels of blessing. If we consciously trifle with sin, we will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. God speaks through His people, through His church. Unsaved friend, let me ask you tonight, Has some Christian been witnessing to you of late? Don't you disdain that witness. Don't you mock that witness. Because God has sent that witness across your pathway, that you might be spoken to about your need of salvation, your need to get right with God. God has sent that person to call you to be saved. For that Christian friend knows that you need to be saved from a lost eternity in hell itself. Turning your Bible over, please, to Revelation chapter 21 and the verse number 8. And here you see the reality of hell spelt out. This is God's Word. Listen to what God says in His Word about a lost, Christless eternity. He says there in Revelation 21, verse 8, He says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That's hell, my friend. Friend unsaved, that's where you're going to if you die in your sin, to the lake of fire, the place of the second death, as the Bible calls it. And that's why God has sent some Christian along your pathway, that they might warn you to flee from the wrath to come. Don't despise that witness. My, that Christian friend knows that you need your sins forgiven through faith in the atoning blood of Christ. The Bible declares the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And only the blood can wash and blot out your sins before Almighty God. Some unsaved, some believer, have they been witnessing to you, dear unsaved friend? Do not resist their earnest appeal. Do not refuse the voice of God that speaks to your heart through their witness, that speaks of Christ the mighty to save. Don't you despise that witness. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's someone that you've met with, some acquaintance. Do not despise that witness. You read of Andrew in the Gospel of John, and he witnessed to his brother, Simon Peter. And he said to Simon Peter, he says, "We have found the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior." He says, and he brought him to Jesus. Peter heeded the witness of his brother. Unsaved man, woman, young person in our meeting tonight, I urge you, I encourage you, follow the example of Peter. Heed the witness of that friend, that person, that Christian that has been speaking to you and calling you to repent of your sins and trust the Lord as Savior. Do not despise that witness. God calls, yes, through His Word. He calls through the witness of His people. But thirdly tonight, we must also say that in salvation, God calls sinners to salvation through His own goodness, through His goodness. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 2 in the verse number 4. And there it says, "The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Friend, let me say this. Every blessing in your life, where has it come from? Be honest now. It has come from God. It's come from the God of heaven. Your home, your family, your work, your business, your farm, your health, your strength, your wisdom, your food on the table. You owe it all to God. You owe everything you have in life to God. You remember what Paul said to the people at Mars Hill about God. He said, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." And he was reminding them that every good thing in life they had, it came from God. From God's hand. God's bountiful care. James says in James chapter 1 and the verse number 17. He says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Tell me, have you ever stopped for a moment and considered the goodness of God to you? Everything you have in life, you owe it all to God. My, how good God has been to you. And my further proof of God's love and God's goodness has been the giving of His Son, the Lord Jesus, His only Son, to die on the cross and to pay the ransom for sinners and to provide eternal salvation for all who will trust Jesus as their Savior. You can spell out the goodness of God in the words of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There you see the goodness of God. When Jesus suffered and bled and died upon that hill outside of Jerusalem, on that middle cross, the goodness of God was displayed to sinful men and women like you and I in this meeting tonight. God has been good to you. He has blessed you. He has sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. But friend, further proof of God's goodness to you is the very fact that God Himself has kept you alive to this very moment in time. I'm sure as you look back over your life, you can think of others. People that maybe grew up, went to school with you, people who lived beside you, maybe people who were close friends and close acquaintances, family members and loved ones. But tonight their seat is vacant. Their seat is empty. They're gone. This world that once knew them now knows them no more. Yet, my friend, you're still here. You're still alive. With breath in your body. My, you're still here upon the scene of time. You might say, why me? Why am I still alive? Why am I not gone from this scene of time? You turn over into the Word of God there to 2 Peter in the chapter 3 in the verse number 9. And you will find the answer to that question, why you're still alive in this meeting tonight, unsaved man, woman, young person, boy or girl. You find the answer to that question in 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse number 9. It says there, the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why are you alive tonight? God in His mercy has given you time to repent, to seek the Lord, to get right with God. Oh, don't despise that time. Don't turn your back upon it. How good God has been to you. The blessings He gives you. The giving of His Son. The life that He has given you. The time that He has given you. To be able to come and sit in a gospel meeting like this while others are gone from this scene of time. You know, whenever a young man loves a young girl, he does everything to prove his love for that girl. My friend, God's love for you is proven. Yes, it's proved. And the heaping of His goodness and His bounty upon you. Oh, this night, I trust you'll consider that goodness. I trust and I pray that you will respond to that goodness by crying out in your heart and praying in your heart like one of old. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. May you repent of your sin. May you call upon the Lord to save you. For His wonderful promise is this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God calls in His goodness. Has He been calling you through His goodness? God calls through the witness of His people. Has He been calling you through the witness of a friend, of a loved one, of another Christian? God calls through His Word. How long, how often has God not spoken to your heart through His Word? God calls. You know, there's another way in which God calls sinners to salvation. This is our final point tonight. God calls sinners to salvation through trouble. He calls sinners to Himself through trouble. Listen to the words of Job as he writes in Job chapter 33 in the verse 14. He says, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Yes, God speaks. You know, if a person will not listen to the plea of God's word, if they will not listen to the witness of another Christian, if they will not listen to the witness of God's goodness, then God must send trouble to draw them to Himself in salvation and for the pardon of their sin and the salvation of their soul. God must intervene and send trouble. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Because the Bible declares it. The Bible teaches it. You think of Manasseh tonight. Turn in your Bible back to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And the verses 11 through to 13. Who was Manasseh? He was the son of Hezekiah. And I would say Hezekiah was one of the most godliest of kings ever to reign upon Judah. A man who loved the Lord. He had a godly wife. He was a man who knew revival and was greatly blessed and used of God. Yet he had a wayward son called Manasseh. A young man who wouldn't listen to his father's example and his father's testimony. And he went on in sin, terrible sin. The Bible says he committed awful sin in the land of Judah and of Israel. But you know, God sent trouble into his life. I believe it was maybe an answer to the prayers of his parents. But look at 2 Chronicles chapter 33 in the verses 11, 12 and 13. It says, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And notice it, and when he was in affliction, what did he do? He besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. And it says, then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. And this is the testimony to God's intervention in this young man's life, to the salvation of his soul. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. God had to send trouble into this young man's life to get him to listen, to turn from his sin, and to seek the Lord. You know, there are some people in life and they will never seek the Lord unless their eyes are washed with tears. That's the case. There's some and they will never listen to God unless God takes away that which is precious to them. Takes away their God out of their life that they might stop and listen to God. There once was a little boy who died. And his father buried him, and as he stood at the open grave with the pastor, as they lowered the coffin down into the grave and watched the young son been buried, the father turned to his pastor and he said, "Pastor, this is God's call for me to be a Christian." And often that is the case. God sends trouble. God sends trouble, yes, to draw the sinner to himself. But we must also say God sends trouble even across the path of the backslider, to bring them back to the side of God, to bring them back to the place of service and into step with the Lord. My friend, tonight, let me ask you the question, must God send trouble for you to listen to Him and to seek His salvation? Must God send trouble your way? Backslider, must God send trouble for you to come back to Himself and get right with God? Must He send trouble? Friend, let me say this, that if you persist to refuse God's call, I must warn you that a day will come when God will cease to speak. A day will come when God will cut you off in your sin. Because God says in His Word, He says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." It says over in the book of Proverbs, "He that been often reproved, hardened of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." You cannot play fast and loose with God and the speaking voice of God. God speaks once. He speaks twice. Maybe speaks many times. You know, there's a time will come when God will cease to speak again. Friend, could that be you? God, yes, maybe has been speaking in recent times through trouble in your life, through the Word of God, through the witness of other Christians, through His goodness, and you refuse to listen. Oh, don't trifle with God. Don't trample the blood of Christ under your feet. Get right with God. Seek the Lord. Don't wait until it is forever too late. Heed the call of God and come to Christ for salvation. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. You can find the Lord tonight. Praise God. You can come to Christ tonight for salvation. You can seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't go out of the meeting tonight rejecting Christ, saying no to Christ the Savior, for this could be your last night. This could be the last night when God will speak with you. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Friend, eternity for you may just be around the corner, for any one of us. Tomorrow you and I may be in God's eternity. We don't know. Only God knows. Get right with God. Maybe there's a backslider tonight. God has been speaking to you. Don't go on in your waywardness. Come back to the Lord. Ask Him to cleanse you afresh in His precious blood. Ask Him to restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. Praise God, His promise is, return unto Me, He says, and I will return unto you. Oh, don't go away tonight unsaved friend without the Savior. Come and trust Him. And know the joy of sins forgiven. Heed His call and get right with